Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, depending upon your time zone, and welcome to Night Light Matrix. Welcome, light workers, light body energies, seekers of the light, watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers and querents, journeymen and journeyers, seekers, star children and philosophers, and all those who are seeking reason and magic in these times of awakening, evolution, and transformation. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Mary Peeler and James Luce, we invite you to come in out of the mainstream and gather around our nightlight in the darkness and confusion of the times. The show represents a sort of pit stop on your cosmic journey, so sit back, share your light with other light-minded people, gather for a time, and be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change. This is our own very small oasis in the turmoil that we call creation. Share with us your light. We'll share ours with you. And with any luck, we can generate enough light to not only light our ways, but provide light enough for others who are seeking as well. These journeys that we're on began a very long time ago and will continue long after this lifetime has faded into memory. So gathering together as we do every week generates energy that can and is drawn on by countless others. Coming together and blending our lights creates energy that serves not only ourselves, but humanity as well. If you'd like to learn more about me, I invite you to visit my website. That's barbaradelong.com. And Mary Peeler's is psychicmediummary.com. There's a lot of information on the shows that we do, on the activities that we're involved in, and all sorts of other cool stuff. There's also information on the other shows that I do. I do Almost Heaven with Lizzie Starr and Adele on the first Tuesday and the last Thursday of the month, and tomorrow is the last Thursday, so I will be on Almost Heaven from 2 to 4 tomorrow. It's a wonderful show. It has a lot of spiritual insight and, of course, readings. So I do suggest you check that out. It's a new show with Lizzie and her daughter Adele, and it's full of wonderful insight and magic. So it's a joy to really participate in. The other show, of course, is Nightlight, which is on from 4 to 6 on Fridays, and on that show we do free readings, and there's lots of spiritual insight and philosophy there as well. So and we'll get Mary to give you her agenda. It is just so amazing that there's no way for me to even put it out there for you. Jeannie's off for the night. She's decided to pack it in. A wasp bit her, so she will not be in the chat room. So I will try to field any questions anybody has as best I can on top of everything else. Tonight's show is special. It's very special to me because I am called a medium, and I do believe I am one, and so is Mary Peeler, and so is James Luce. And the reason I have gathered us all together is because most of you out there know what you think a medium is, aren't sure how we got to be who we are or what we are. And I thought it would be lots of fun for us to sort of explain to you the processes that we've gone through, some of the trials and errors, some of the weird stuff that has happened, because, of course, joyfully within the spiritual realm, there's always weird stuff going on. But mediumship is something that I've heard a lot of people say, oh, I want to learn how to do that. And so tonight was sort of an informational show for all of those of you who have wondered about mediums, and in doing the research, it's been a little discouraging and disheartening. The first actual mediumship that ever took place, as far as I can tell, was in the Old Testament, and the Witch of Endor was asked to communicate with the spirit of the prophet Samuel in order to allow King Saul to question his former mentor about an upcoming battle. And that's Old Testament. I might add that though they were able to communicate, Samuel was really ticked off that he was disturbed. So it sort of does suggest that perhaps you shouldn't go looking for spirits. You should wait for them to come to you. But after that, you know, spiritualism sort of came to arise in the early 19th century in Great Britain. And then in this country, in the middle of the 1800s, the Fox Sisters and then the National Association of Spiritualist Churches was developed. But what I find fascinating and / horrifying is that there is not a good word said about it. Basically, science and everybody else feels that it is a fake. And so you're going to have three people here tonight trying to explain to you how you can't scientifically prove something that is based on faith, but that if you have the faith, the reality that is shared with you is just profoundly amazing. I'm going to bring Mary on first, and then we'll bring James on. Hi, Mary. How's it going today, tonight?
Hi, Barbara, and hi, James. It's going really well. I worked all day as a medium, and I can tell you that I had an absolute ball connecting with the other side, and I really had a real blessing. I must be doing something right, so I'm going to really tell you that, you know, as you know, and James knows, and I think most of our listeners know, that there is such a thing as a medium, because everybody who I read for today called back and wanted other appointments. So
well, let me bring James on too, and then we can all really start to compare notes.
Thanks.
No, not at all. Hi, James, are you there also?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
we can hear you fine.
Good.
You know, I had never actually researched this topic before because I figured I know what a medium is, and I was blown away and aghast that all of the research, you know, people have tried to prove it. There's even, you know, the Amazing Randy has put a $1 million prize up for anybody who can scientifically prove mediumship is real or psychic stuff is real. And I was not aware that the books and everybody is really down on mediumship. There is not a kind word out there about it. Were you aware of that?
One of the things that hit me along those lines today is I was reading, I was working in a shop doing readings, and I picked up the James von Prague book, Unfinished Business,
yes,
which has a fact from that actually is taught at Yale Divinity School, and that is, I forget the date, it's in the 600s after Constantine took over Christianity, the emperor. But in the 600s, it was a particular council in the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church, it was very businesslike, that they threw out reincarnation completely out of all the documentation in the Bible, and it became apocryphal. So that is also part of, since I would say this is the wrong date, but around 610 AD, the journey of the soul has been negated or trounced or swept under the carpet by the huge orthodoxy of organized religion.
Well, you know, in spite of that, though, there are people like Mary and like you and like me, who do mediumship, who are able to tap into spirits who are on the other side. And it seems to me that since this has been something that has been around since the Old Testament, how could they say that it doesn't exist just because you can't scientifically prove it?
Well, I think there's a lot of personal will force in there about being on Earth, about destroying the records or throwing it out. I mean, one of the most revelatory pieces of scripture that's apocryphal is the Gospel according to Mary Magdalene,
mm-hmm.
Which does talk about reincarnation and the visitation of spirits. Yes, you're right. Science does not. It has always been a conundrum with science that is this documentation real to prove actually that the spirit is in the room, and then. Go ahead. Yeah.
And the thing is, the spirits aren't really in the room. They're in another dimension. And, you know, while they do appear in the room, they're truly not. It's almost as though they're a hologram type of thing. And that was the other thing that they talked about, that there were different kinds of mediums, some that heard the spirits, some that saw the spirits, some that had the spirits, you know, actually manifesting and doing all sorts of stuff.
Correct.
I was going to ask you, how did you come into your embracing of your mediumship qualities, I guess is the best way to put it?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. My best friend in undergrad took his life when I was 24 and he was 22. And I started to have dreams which was actually me entering one of the levels of ether, one of the levels of light above us. And he would take me and he would say, now this looks like a supermarket, but it's really a level of the afterlife. And then he said, you're going to get closer and you're going to talk with all of us. And I'd wake up from the dream, and then I would go back to graduate school and have a really hard time. And then he was sitting on the end of the bed, and he was saying, now, and then I would see him in class, and he would say, you know, all of this is going on. Everyone can be clairvoyant if they can get out of their head and trust their imagination. And that's somewhat of a basic rule through the centuries about clairvoyance, is that you know, there are certain schools of mediumship. All of us have the gift if we can have the faith, as you have said most eloquently. If we have the faith, the gift will come, and it is through imagination and creativity for me. So that was one of my instances. The other one was I went to a baptism when I was young, and I could see this light coming out of the preacher, and he was actually much more than just the person conducting the baptism. And when he touched me and I went through it, I ended up sitting on the top of the church. And the same thing happened to me several times at Lilydale. So it is the ability that we have of communing with the various levels of the grid of the spirit world, all for the good of improving everyone's progression. And those are just a few tiny instances, but
yeah. Mary, how did you come into this aspect of your spiritual growth?
Well, the mediumship came very early in my career because I started my career so late in life. But I always knew I was gifted, but. I was only doing like my second or third reading as a psychic, and I had previous to this watched a lot of other mediums such as James Van Prague and John Edward, and thought to myself, oh, I would love to do that. Well, it didn't take long, because all you have to do is mention something in my life, and if it's for me, it's going to appear. And so I was reading for this young man, and I was just kind of slowing down because his life was going slow. And then I just closed my eyes and I glanced up again, and standing right next to him was this old man. Well, he's probably my age, but this old man telling me, I'm his grandfather and I really like the hats he wears. And I was just blown away and got so excited, because it was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I'm a medium. So
well, you know, I got my
wish all within 1 week, and I was overjoyed by it. And I've been doing it well for the last 18 years.
Yeah, I've been, you know, my entree into the field, and I think what I'm trying to sort of point out to people is that that everybody is psychic. Everyone has intuition. Everyone has the capacity to be a quote unquote psychic. But it feels to me, and you know, I'm not perfect. But it feels to me as though the aspect of mediumship is something you are gifted with while you're on your spiritual journey. And it's almost something that finds you, calls you. It's not something that you really reach for and you know, go to class for or something like that. So
I will have to agree with you on that. I know other psychics who tell me that there is a difference in how they feel and their own vibration when they're using the mediumship gift as compared to the psychic gift. I personally don't see a difference, but do you, or do you, James?
The mediumship ability, the way I was taught in spiritualism, and the way it works the best, I think, I mean, just from my experience, is using high guides, masters, angels, and white lights, and not only talking and delivering messages from spirit, but asking those guides and helpers and light workers to provide information to help out whomever is being read. Whether it's we're proving the continuance of life, we're proving evidentiality, or we're helping someone at work, or through the decisions they have to make on Earth. All of it. I mean, to me, that sort of mediumship is golden. The psychic ability of, like, the lottery number is this, or that's difficult for me. And some people know it. Some people say, oh, so-and-so's coming around the corner right now. And you know, I can tell you when somebody's going into spirit, but I don't know, you know. I do get the feeling when something's going to happen, but that is more difficult for me to do. It is more the earth plane psychic business is more difficult for me.
Well, it is for me too. Barbara, how about you?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, trust me, if I could get lottery numbers, trust me, I would have hit the lottery by now.
Right.
We do have a question from Deb. Hi, Deb, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You had a question that you put in the chat room, and I think it's a great one. You wanna put it out there, and maybe our expertise can solve the question.
Well, it has always kind of amazed me how they'll, you know, shun basically mediumship, but acknowledging angels is fine, but nothing else counts, you know, basically. So what spirit, if angels aren't spirit, and I muddled that all up, but I think I did it better in text.
No, it's very true, though. It's very true. And, I mean, one of the things is that you know, when Constantine was running the church in 310 and then it went into 600, as I was saying before, they left the angels in the approved literature. That's one of the things. They threw out reincarnation. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, but isn't that just how it is, though? They leave things in when it suits their purpose and yanks out everything else?
You're absolutely right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's called
right.
Authority figures.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to understand something, though. When Constantine created Christianity, because Jesus didn't, Constantine did, and he
right.
had the Bible put together, he was creating a corporation. He was not looking to create a religion, because of course the religion, you know, was already there. It was Judaism, but he wanted something that he could use to actually control the masses, and that's exactly what he did. And when they put the when I forget which conference it was, but the when reincarnation and mediumship were taken out of the Bible, it only missed by like two votes. So
that's
I mean,
true. It did. It was very close. You're absolutely right. Yes.
So
well, I didn't
I mean,
know
if,
that. That's interesting.
So if our faith or what we're basing our faith on is controlled by people voting on what we can or cannot have access to, that isn't exactly, pardon the word, kosher. It doesn't make sense. So, and I think, Deb, you had a very good point that, you know, angels are spirits, absolutely. And all throughout the Old Testament, angels are talking to people, they're bringing messages, you're going to get pregnant and you won't have to do anything and you're going to get pregnant. It doesn't matter that you're 55 or 65 or 80 or whatever. And spirits are taking physical form in this reality, bringing messages to other people. Now that's a form of mediumship if you happen to see an angel. So it's out there. It's in the Bible. So why is it now? I mean, when I read through all of the material on mediumship, all they did was trash it and say that, you know, there was no way of proving it, and you know, people had cheated, and let's face it, people have tried to snow the public since the public was the public, and it's not anything
right.
new.
Well, where did you see, hear anything or read anything about psychics doing this? I mean, I live in a city where there are a lot of psychics who sell you candles for $500 to take any curse off of you.
Oh, absolutely. Those are the gypsies. Yes.
Yeah, they're gypsies. They're Romanians. And, they're really good at that. They've been doing it for a while. They give us all a bad name, but they're really good at that.
Well, you know, it's the for me, the psychic and the spiritual are hand in hand. And this is and when we come to the mediumship And even being a psychic dealing with the general public, I truly believe that the quality of the psychic depends upon the intensity with which they are living their own spiritual philosophies and walking their talk. And so you have those that aren't walking their talk, they're walking their purse, and if you give it just a couple of minutes and you aren't snowed by what other people say and you take a good look at a person, you usually know whether or not they are sincere about what they're doing. And there are a lot of very sincere people out there that really feel they are helping people, but they aren't walking their talk. And it's to me a very sad thing because they don't understand. You know, I've had psychics come up and say to me, "Well, I don't get that many clients, but you know, you do." And you know, I kind of ask them, you know, well, are they walking their talk? Are they talking about spirituality? And are they illustrations of what they're saying? And they kind of give me a weird look, like, "What are you talking about?" So I think that there is that aspect to the field that a lot of people are not exactly following.
Well, that makes perfect sense, because if you are not helping someone to get a better, clearer, broader picture of heaven or spirituality, then you're not doing your job.
Yeah, and there's so many people out there who figure that this is a quote unquote job, and that you know, we should all be rich. And to tell you the truth, I don't know of any psychic who is really good who is rich. Do you, Mary?
Well, not personally.
Nor Jane.
Sure. the odd thing is, the ones I've known. Everything you said, Barbara, is so revelatory. It's sort of like, I mean, for me.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but what was that word? I'm sorry.
Revelatory. Revealing.
Revelatory.
And
yeah,
it means?
Revealing and revelation.
Thank you, James. I appreciate that.
I was stealing his words.
but if we get the thing, I think,
well,
is,
this is why we have Blog Talk, so we can be educated. I like this. Thank you.
Certainly, one thing I think that deteriorates that I've noticed with readers is that when they how do we want to say, their reputation becomes huge, sometimes depending on the reader, and because I'm also in the professional theater, when your reputation becomes huge and you have a following, there is that, this might be the wrong word, temptation to believe your press instead of listen to spirit, listen to the guides and masters, listen to the angels, listen to the white lights. But I've seen several people sort of fall off the straight and narrow simply because they get entangled in the physical world. The larger one's reputation gets, there is that problem of you can just completely believe the physical world, and then your guides and masters get thinner and have a tendency to leave you. Your information has a tendency to leave you. I've seen it happen several times, and it's about, as Barbara says, you have to walk your talk. You know, because we are, as spiritualism teaches us, we are a spirit and a soul having an earthly experience.
Absolutely,
yeah.
And what I have found fascinating is that so many people, you know, see the word psychic and they have a predetermined opinion as to what it is we should be able to do, and not only what we should be able to do, but we should be 100%. And the reason we're down here, the reason we're back this lifetime, is because probably in the past we misused the power, and we're here to do it right this time. And I, you know how sometimes, you know, the cars in Europe have governors on them, so they can't go any faster than, I don't know, 80 miles an hour or something like that. I feel that a lot of the psychics, the mediums that are down here, this particular point in time have a governor on them, and they can't screw up. They really can't. They also can't get filthy rich. So, but and the term I think you might have been looking for, James, was the glory, and it's when the glory becomes what they're looking for, as opposed to the enlightenment that comes from this practice, because we really do learn from every person we touch and every person we read, and it's an important thing that we are constantly learning, as well as the people, hopefully, that are coming to us for help and for guidance. Because, you know, I mean, we're not perfect, but because if we were perfect, we wouldn't be here.
Right.
At least I'm not.
We'd be sitting on a cloud.
Yeah. but you know, when we come into this field, I don't think any of us, and you know, I can't speak for everybody, but I don't think anybody really sought being a medium. The psychic, the spiritual field, they call to us, but mediumship is something that it's almost like it comes because we're doing a good job in the other areas. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Say that again, please.
That we may have thought we were called by the spiritual and the psychic, you know, and I don't think anybody ever really decides I'm going to be a psychic. They find that they become a psychic because of the journey they're on. And the mediumship is just, it's something that is sort of bestowed upon us when we get to a certain level and we haven't messed up.
That's really true. I agree.
I do too, only I like to think of it as being psychic was always my chocolate cake and being a medium was the icing on the cake. I love it.
Well, it is a joy for me, and
yes.
I love doing the mediumship. And I really didn't think anybody was too impressed with it. So it's not something that I have, you know, really used a lot over the last 40 years or so. But apparently
Oh, I'm sorry, Barbara. I'm sitting next to you. So,
no.
But you know, I'm going to continue because I think this is important. One of the reasons why I enjoy doing the mediumship more than the psychic work is because, for me, this is caring for the dead. This is caring for the survivors. This is giving comfort in the highest regard and in the best and finest manner that I am capable of. And if I can do anything to help along someone's journey, then I am so gifted and so privileged and honored to do this work. I would never have asked for this, but it is because I didn't understand it. But I just think this is an honor.
Oh, absolutely. And I think somebody asked in the chat room, what's the difference between psychic and mediumship? Anybody?
Well, mediumship for me is definitely connecting and speaking and dealing with spirits who have crossed. And psychic is more for me about what is going to happen.
Well, also it's the intuitive.
But don't you guys put your intuitiveness in work with your mediumship also?
Always. Always, yeah.
Oh, yeah, really. I can't separate them at all.
I
get an intuitive feeling that they sing. I'm supposed to greet them at the door saying, oh, you're the singer. Well, that's my intuitiveness, but it is also coming from not me, but also their loved ones.
Oh, yeah. And
that's true. That's really true.
I think I think that was a good question, though, because there are people who are psychic and are not mediums, and there are mediums who are not psychic. So that you know, it is two distinctly different fields, but with those of us who are fortunate, you know, we've got them both. But not everybody can do that. I know that in the spiritualist church, ministers in the spiritualist church have to demonstrate mediumship. If they cannot demonstrate mediumship, they can't be ordained in the National Association of Spiritualist Churches. So there is that skill, that talent, that gift, whatever you want to call it, that is above and beyond the psychic stuff. I know tons and tons of card readers who do not do mediumship, but they are very intuitive and they are very spiritually oriented. They just don't see the spirits, and lots of them don't want to. I think that for me, when I see spirit, when I do a spirit circle, I'm seeing actual people standing there, and I can describe them and I can give, you know, all sorts of information on them. But sometimes, you know, if the person who I am reading is not physically in front of me, I still see the person there. I still see, you know, people standing there and you know, whispering or telling me something or making fun of somebody, because quite often they make fun of the people that are asking the questions.
We do have a lot of fun with them. I have to agree with you on that one. Not making fun, but in helping them also to find humor in this, because heaven is a good place.
Yeah, but you know, also though, I think you hit on something earlier that I think it warrants repeating. Doing mediumship gives people the validation that the spirits, the souls, the essence of the people that we loved have gone on. They have not disappeared. They have not gone to nothingness. They are in another dimension and in another realm, and their work continues on the spiritual level, so that death is not an ending. And I think in many ways mediumship is such a gift to these people, to be able to say, yes, and she's with her sister, and they're gossiping, or they're shopping, or they're hanging out, and they're watching your niece misbehave, or whatever. So that there's the essence here of being able to give them validation that their loved one is definitely still around. They check in on them. They and angels as well. Yes, Kathy's, you know, chiming in from the chat room, but mediumship gives people validation. Now, it's not scientifically proven, although in the spiritualist church, part of one of the things that they read every week is that the fact that there is another side is scientifically proven by the act of mediumship. But that's not true, because it hasn't been scientifically proven, and I think that's one of the things that is so amazing. I don't know why they're trying to prove it, but when they come to things like near-death experiences, they are now able to, you know, scientifically prove that when the body is dead and the spirit has gone and comes back, that something has to have happened. And there are so many experiences by surgeons and doctors and well documented people that you know, that have had the near-death experience and come back to say, I went somewhere, I saw my family, I was sent back because I have a job to do. So we are getting to a point, I think maybe the day will come when mediumship is scientifically proven as well. And I think that will take something away from it, because it means you don't have to have faith anymore.
Oh, that would be too bad. We need our faith.
Absolutely. And the faith that those of us who do this is so important, and you know, if it were proved, I tell people I don't do tests because I don't believe in them, and I always flunk them anyhow.
I do too. You know, the more intuitive I became, the less mathematical I became. You know?
Oh yes.
And I don't understand why it's so hard for people to accept something that cannot be proved, because after all, Weren't most of the major religions, you know, founded on things that had to, you know, that were a matter of faith as opposed to, you know, scientific proof. Is Jesus any more real today than he was, you know, 2,000 years ago? I mean, he's not here anymore, but his philosophy, his teachings go on. And you can't tell me he didn't exist because his philosophies and his teachings go on. So I think that you know, I have faith that his words and his deeds are something that are basically a textbook for things that we should ascend to within this lifetime. He said we could do all this and more. So I'm not sure I want to try raising the dead, but the mediumship is certainly a part of what he did.
Yes,
'cause you
absolutely.
Well, you know, Patrick did not believe in spirits until he came here and lived in the house that, you know, I have a cat in spirit who is here. And he didn't believe in it. And until one day the cat rubbed up against his leg and he looked under the table and he saw the gray cat, and we didn't have a gray cat. And I had told him that Smudge was here, and Smudge, you know, made himself known, and he went back and looked under the table and he said, the cat's gone. And I said, the cat wasn't here in the first place. That was Smudge. It was a ghost. And after that, he didn't believe in ghosts anymore, but he believed in Smudge. So I guess it was... It was one of those minor victories that I just would love to see the look on his face when he crossed over.
Yeah.
That would be something to see.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's
what he has to say. I wonder if he listens here. So...
Oh, I'm sure he does. I keep every now and then there's such validation that he's around that it's kind of like, you know, the least you could do is take, you know, do the kitty litter or something. But well, that was his job. But do you guys find that it's easier for you to get spirits for other people as opposed to yourself?
Great question.
Yes, and absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, mine have to come, because I didn't intend to be a medium or anything like that, but it was, I lost people, and they would come into my dreams, or they'd come and kind of knock me in the head and open my heart to see and to feel. So for my own self, it was, they had to work really hard with me. Whereas I could see them around other people and ask who they were.
Yeah, how about you, Mary?
I rarely get anybody for me. Rarely. Except I have to take that back. Sorry, Dad. My dad is around a lot. But you know what he does? He comes in as a symbol for me, and he tells me something. Look, I'm here. I'm talking because I'm telling you this is an old man you're talking to. So he sort of bosses me around, but he only comes in a reading because he's there to help me.
Ah, okay. I have
my dad to work.
Well, my parents are both gone, and I have never experienced either of them. The only thing that I have ever really experienced in any way, shape, or form was my mother. My philosophy on cleaning a house, I have to put out there. My philosophy on cleaning a house is getting a cleaning lady. I absolutely...
I use that philosophy, too. I subscribe there, too.
Okay,
yes, me, too.
So when...
All
when,
three of us.
When my mother passed away, I learned rapidly that two incomes could support the house, but one income did not. And so I had to sell the house that had been our home for 50 years. And So because it was up on the market, I had to get up every morning and I had to scrub floors and vacuum. And every time I took the vacuum out, I could hear my mother laughing. And it was it got to the point where I would grit my teeth and say, enough. You know, you could do it at night. You could do, you know, you could help here. But laughing at me is not helping. And that went on for almost, that went on for almost 9 months. And the day that the house sold, I went to get the vacuum cleaner out, and it blew up. And all I could, and it literally blew up. And I looked at it sitting there with all this smoke coming out and sparks, and I thought, you know, you could have done this months ago, and I would have been happy. And I heard my mother laughing again, and it was like, you know, clearly I have the day off at least. And it was a pleasure, but I've never heard words. I've never heard, from my family, I've never heard words or anything like that. So I kind of sit back and think, okay, if something profound is coming through, I'm sure that somebody will tell me about it, because certainly my family is not going to. and you know, I think that there is a point in time where we choose whether we want to use our gift for our own benefit or whether we want to serve others. And so it just seems to me that we make choices along this pathway of spiritual service. And, you know, frankly, I never thought that I would be in this field. I mean, I was a school teacher, and I really did not have any thought or intention of becoming...
I never did either. I'm the same way. I always went to readers and mediums in Spiritualist Church for help in how to get through. I was in the professional theater, so how to get through the craziness of the professional performance world. I was never thinking that I would end up reading other people or helping other people. I just didn't think I... what I saw, I had a hard time... In studying it, my difficulty was interpreting what I was seeing, so I always looked to the great mediums in the church. And then all of a sudden, a lot of close people to me went into spirit and came back, and my entire soul changed, and it happened. It was not an intention at all.
Well, I thought I was faking. And... I did. I really did. I can remember I was in a class for spiritual development, and we were supposed to, and I've told this story before, so I apologize to anybody that's hearing it. It's a repeat. The class had a study hour, and then we shared messages. We sat in a dark room, and people gave messages. And I got bored with sitting in a dark room, so I just started to make up the weirdest things I could for other people, and everybody kept saying, oh, yeah, thank you. And so the minister decided we were going to do a night in church, and everybody in the class would have another part of the service, and he gave out all of the different parts of the service. And I figured I was the newest kid on the block, so I got off without having to do anything. And I felt very cocky as I was leaving the classroom, and he said, oh, by the way, Barbara, you're going to do the mediumship. And I backed back into the room, and I said to him, after everyone had cleared out, you do realize I'm faking. And he said, no, you're not. You're a natural. And I said, no, I'm faking. I'm a good faker, but I'm faking this. And he said, no, you just have to understand that you're just opening your mouth, and whatever comes out is really appropriate and dead on. And I said, no, I'm faking. And he said, well, if you're really that uncomfortable, have some friends come and give messages to them, so you know you won't feel foolish. And so I tried to talk a number of my friends into coming, and nobody would come until I offered to pay them. And
Oh my god!
Really? Wow!
Oh yeah, no, I forked out $20 to five people, and they were going to come and sit in the church. So that evening, I was feeling very sure of myself. I figure, you know, five people, that's it, I'll be fine. And when it came time for the mediumship, and there were, I think, maybe 200 people there at the church, I looked out over this sea of faces and realized that not one of my friends was there. They were out having cocktails or whatever or dinner on me. And I thought, okay, so I don't mind making a fool of myself in front of a group of people. So I gave about 8 or 10 messages to people, and after the service, everybody came up to me and said, "Do you do readings?" And I said, "No." And you know, afterwards, I looked at the minister and I said, "Well, I hope you're happy." And he said, "How'd it feel?" And I said, "It was invigorating, but I didn't do anything. I just opened my mouth, and it was all fake." And he said, "No, you weren't faking. You do this naturally." It took him 7 years to convince me that by not thinking and just allowing, I was a natural. And it's still, every now and then, I get a little embarrassed because it comes so easy. How about you, Mary?
Well, I have to tell you, though, before I go into me, because I just have to, that John Edwards said that he, too, felt that he couldn't do it until he got annoyed one afternoon and he started making things up. And his teacher said, "It's your imagination that is making the connection. Keep making things up. You're right."
Yeah. Well, it was really profound, and it took me a long time to understand that our imaginations are the sum total of our experience from all our lifetimes past.
Absolutely, they are, and they are the bridge to the divine, absolutely.
And so once you understand that connection, that making something up is drawing on, you know, past life experience. It's not making something up. It's allowing something to come forward that you've carried for generations of your soul's evolution.
Oh, that was beautiful. It's all true.
It's so true. It's so true. And creativity is the same. Creativity is the same thing. How the mind works is the same thing. It the subconscious really carries with it all of our incarnations, our divine messages. If we can access the subconscious, with the imagination,
absolutely
that, true.
Yeah.
And I think that when you know, one of the most important things that I hammer on people, and I really hammer it, is that spirituality flows through creative channels and manifests within our reality. If you open a creative channel, and it doesn't matter if you're coloring, if you're painting, you know, masterpieces, if you're gardening, if you're, no matter what creative project, so long as it's creative and you're not doing it for pay, it opens up that channel so that the spiritual can come in and integrate into the creative nature that is inside of us and it greatly expand the light within our reality and sort of take our lives from being mundane to being spectacular. I spoke earlier about money and how it does not enhance this gift. And the reality is, I think all of us, James and Mary, I think we are the richest people around. We just don't happen to have any money. But
right.
the richness of spirit and what it brings into our lives and our realities and the joy that it gives us is just the most amazing thing in the world, and it doesn't cost anything, which is the coolest part.
Well,
yes.
It doesn't. But there's one other thing, too, that when we are listening to our imagination and our creativity, if we recognize that this comes from the greater good, from who we call God or what we call God, and we dedicate ourselves and our service to that by helping, then it seems to come back and out back to me a thousand times greater than I have ever imagined, whether I'm drawing, whether I'm writing, whether I'm doing a reading. It, to me, it is in the recognition and the unification that I am one with all that brings everything that is supposed to come out and through me into the highest degree possible.
Oh, absolutely.
That's beautifully said. That's beautifully said, yes.
And the reality here is that doing the work that we do is in so many ways, it's like a reward. It means that, you know, we get to suddenly open ourselves up and blend with the perfection of other people and bring information from them out into their reality and ours as well. And I absolutely always say and will constantly repeat it over and over again, I learn so much from doing readings on other people that it's amazing. And somebody asked in the chat room, and I missed it as it went by, so I'll pull it out now. I am incapable of reading for myself. It's almost like I'm in a black gunny sack when I try to throw cards or get impressions for myself for what's coming or anything like that. I am, you know, and it may be just a personal thing, but I am totally incapable of reading for myself.
I'm with you.
Really?
Like that too. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I have to really pray and ask for guidance, and then they'll come in and hit me open, and I'll get a picture and a feeling, but it's really hard for mediums. I mean, yes.
Well,
yeah.
I use my tarot cards, and it is not, because with tarot, I have been able to just say, okay, I need help, and my hand, and that's a big, strong prayer.
Uh-huh.
So I just put the cards in my hand, and it takes all of my fear away. I don't use tarot when I'm doing a mediumship or even a reading, but for myself, I love the tarot cards because the cards just jump out at me, and I know what my answer is. I am very,
wow,
very, very grateful for tarot.
Well, I use the deck of cards that I developed, so theoretically they should really sing for me. And I have found that I can spread them for anybody, or cat or dog, or I can spread them. And so long as it's not me I'm reading, there is a wealth of information there. I could talk for 5 or 6 hours. I spread them for me, and honest to goodness, I see coasters. I don't see any insight. I don't see any wisdom. And basically, I find that I will get answers to my questions if I have something that I am deliberating on that is profoundly important to me. Chances are the next reading that comes in will give me information that I will need for me.
That I've had
occur.
That's really true.
I learn from every one of my encounters. So I like the double messages. Always giving us double messages. How about for you, James?
Always. I mean, because it's also, I have attracted, or no, my guides have put before me and angels have put before me people who have gone through similar experiences that I have had. So I can call on my loved ones in spirit. I can call on the masters to come through me and direct their lives, because on earth and in spirit, I have had similar experiences to really help and be of service to those who need information through me from guides and masters. So and from that, then all of a sudden there are many things, or at least one thing, I need to learn. I need to know. Because we're all connected, and it is about creating and attracting and mirroring, and that it always happens in a reading. You're absolutely right.
Now, I just think that there is so much wisdom that comes out in readings, and so often when people come to you, they have a specific question, and I don't know how you guys feel, but I love it when people say, "Just give me what you get," instead of you know, a specific question, because with a specific question, you have to sort of put everything else aside and give them and try to address what it is they're asking you. But if you're set free from that, if they just say, you know, give me what you get, then you're able to give them what spirit thinks is the most important thing for them to hear.
And then do you allow them to ask questions?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, because that's different. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. But you know, to turn the reader free to give them what is most important as far as the cards or the spirit is saying. And you know, I find that quite often, I find spirit guides often standing behind people when they're getting readings. I don't know how you guys feel.
Yes, absolutely.
Because that as well as, you know, if someone has spirit guides that are standing there, you know that there's got to be some issue that they are addressing, some reason that they are going, you know, through a transformational change of some sort. have you ever had people come to you that didn't have a problem, that just came because life was beautiful?
Huh. No.
I haven't either. James, how about you?
No. It's about, because I don't know. This is a generalization, but if growing up in Southern California as I did, those people that were so happy were very much in the materiality of the physical world, and I never was. I always had some problem or ostracism, so I would rely on imagination and what I saw in my heart and soul and mind. So, everyone has the gift and everyone has the greatness of soul, but a lot of people, they need the shock to open them up, as happened to me, or the ability or the sign to open them up. Because people that think everything is hunky-dory know they are pursuing the physical world, which is part of their lesson and part of their journey, and that's great. But there's always some question that brings the need for questing for higher knowledge and wisdom.
Always.
Yeah, I'm finding that the quality of people that are coming for readings is changing. And I don't mean that you know, that 10 years ago they weren't a good quality of person. But to me, people who come for readings these days are really coming because there is a spiritual transformational process ongoing. And first of all, they want to validate it. And second of all, they want to know, how can I help it? And my reply to that kind of question is, get out of your own way and allow the spirit to do the work.
Barbara.
True. Daily, people are coming for that.
Yeah, it has changed over the last decade or so. I mean, it used to be when is my boyfriend going to call, or when am I going to get a new job, or, you know, when am I going to win the lottery, or things like that. But these days, people are more interested, and I'm delighted to see it, in their own spiritual development and evolution. And the one thing that has been coming back at me over and over and over again are the relevance of past lives to this life. How about you guys?
Yes. And, you know, we love that.
Yes. James, Mary, and I love doing past lives. And we've done a number of shows where people actually don't get to ask questions. They call up and Mary gives them a couple of past lives and I give them a couple of past lives, and we relate it to this lifetime and we move on. But while that has been a game in the past for us, I'm beginning to see that people are finally more and more open to the fact that their past lives, those that actually come forward, really do apply to this lifetime, and they bring knowledge, wisdom, talents, and techniques that can help them this lifetime if they open to them.
It's so true, because it's the same soul. It's the same soul that lived in 1742. It's the same soul that lived in 1183. It's the same soul that lived in 3200 BC. It's the same soul. Yes, yes.
I like how you said that. I tried to explain that today to someone. It's very well put.
I find it. I find past lives now more and more and more important because they do have great relevance to what's going on in the here and now. I think the times that we're living in, and I guess you could almost say it's always that way, but the times that we're living in are transformational. I think that that 2012 wasn't necessary. 2012 was sort of publicized for the wrong reasons because it was the end of an age. And I think 2013, and if you look at just the calendar and what's happened since 2013 happened, that we are coming into a whole new genre as far as life as we know it and how to live life and what's important. And I think that the awareness is there so amazingly, strongly, that it's unbelievable, and it's kind of like 2013 is definitely the beginning for me of a new age of awareness. What do you guys think?
I don't know if I agree with that or not, but for you it is. I don't think that things have changed greatly in my own life like that, but I do feel that there are many others out there who would agree with you 100%.
How about you, James?
The vibration of the planet, the atmosphere, the energies, it's an incredibly quick vibration than compared to like when I was a baby in the 50s and a kid in the 60s. The vibration right now is very, it's fast, and it can, and I mean, for me, I have to be more careful because just the ability to attract or send thoughts out to the universe, the entire vibration is much, much quicker. And I would sort of possibly say more profound.
Give me an example.
Go ahead, Mary.
Give me an example, please.
Of the vibration being quicker.
Because you said you have to be careful of it, and I was going, am I missing something here?
Well, no, I think it's with me, it's being an intuitive, I have a tendency to be off time. I have to work at being prompt, punctual, and exact, and being a teacher, that really taught me to. But I find in 2013, just in the past few years, time seems to pass more quickly. And events and reactions of people, what do I want to say, possibly younger people or time? I think time and decisions have a quicker pace to them, especially in the material world. In the spirit world, the vibration being quicker, my perceptions of time are even more off. And that's what I have to guard against, the passage of time, just to be more aware. But that's one of the vibrational changes I feel.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would tend to go along with that too. I think that for me, energetically, I it feels like there is a quickening, and that's the best word I can put to it. There's a quickening of energy, and where things used to sort of just flow very gently, now I'm finding it's there's an intensity here, there's a pushing here, and you see it with the world at large. Now this world is, you know, no matter what, it's always going to be crazy, and there's always going to be awful things happening, and with the news and everything, we see these things faster than we did, you know, 50 years ago or 30 years ago, but the energy, the intensity of individuals is so much stronger. It's almost like there's a feeling of an undercurrent of panic. You know, am I going to do the and you know, I'm catching that in the general population. You can't. I used to be able to go down, and I don't know. Maybe I'm more sensitive, or I'm reading it wrong. You know, that's always a possibility. But I used to be able to walk down the streets of New York and enjoy it. Now I can't do it anymore. It feels as though it's almost a fearful thing, and it's the people are fearful. And you look at people's faces, especially in huge crowds, and you see fear. And I can remember when you know, people were smiling and people were happy and people were kind to each other, and they're not that way today, at least in my experience in large crowds. I stay basically to, you know, small groups that I know have the same philosophy that I do, and therefore I'm very blessed that I can do that because I don't have to go out and I don't have to work. I work harder now than I ever did, but I don't have to go out to a job. I'm lucky to be retired. But I am finding that since 20, and yes, my husband passed away last year, so that this year is going to have a different feel for me. And I agree with you, Mary. I think that you know, for me, life has definitely changed, but it feels like the general population of the planet has taken on a greater intensity, at least for me.
No, that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. And more intensity and a quickness and a faster pulsation. And consequently, things can get missed.
Yeah, that's
Do
true.
Do you feel that is caused by spirit or the fact that we have so many technical toys at our disposal nowadays? Because I think they came through spirit also.
I feel it's technical toys, and I feel it's the surface of the earth.
I think a lot of our technical toys that now we play with. Okay, I'm going to get slightly weird on you both here. I truly believe that starting in about 1947, when there was that Roswell crash, that we had access to alien technology. And alien technology, I'm not talking green men or grays or anything like that. Alien is technology that was not of this world. Because I don't think that the people who visited here felt they were alien or strange. They felt that probably we were. And from that time point on, we have fiber optics, we have cell phones, we have all sorts of new technology. And I'm not sure that as a species we were ready for it. And I think that it is getting ahead of us. It is taking over our lives. And because of it, we aren't really developing as we should, because we're relying so much upon these. I mean, I have a cell phone, and if I'm not in range of a cell tower, I can't I can't communicate with the world, and so that's important to me. And there was a time where I didn't have a cell phone, and I was more at peace because I didn't have this little thing in my pocket that could tell me the weather, could tell me directions, could tell me all sorts of stuff that now I rely upon it for, where in the past I would have found a way to rely upon myself. So I think we are losing part of our independence by becoming dependent upon all these electronic gifts that are so much fun to play with. I mean, I hate to trash them because I have most of them, but it does take away from us. Do you know, I mean, I no longer buy books. I have them electronically. And what happens if a pulse wave of some sort of magnetic vibration or whatever hits the planet and all of the electricity is gone? Then there's a generation here that would not be able to function.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah. And
I,
you know...
I,
go ahead.
No, I liked what you're saying, Barbara, that it was alien technology, because it is, I mean, we are electromagnetic and it is electricity, but down on the surface of the earth, we aren't, I agree with you, we aren't ready for this. We are ready in some ways, and in other ways, we are losing intuition and vibrations of nature and the nature and the beauty of the earth. We lose it. Or it is because this technology makes things happen so quickly within seconds.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and somebody in the chat room mentioned too, and none of us have mentioned it, but it is important, that meditation is really an important part of this field, of this work, of this part, of this aspect of ourselves. And I think that you know, we should mention it. Now, I know, Mary, you meditate, and I know you do, James, and I do too. We all have our own form of meditation, but meditation is a part of becoming a receptor for the energy of the universe. And I think what some people, in my opinion, what some people don't understand is that for every individual there is a unique system of meditation that will work for them. Frankly, I can't sit and focus quietly because my head is too busy. And I do grocery lists, I do all sorts of stuff. But if I am gardening, if I am working with nature, if I am, you know, intent on planting something, on growing something, that's when my consciousness is open the most. And everybody has their own form of meditation. It doesn't have to be sitting, and lots of people do sit and they listen and they get wonderful stuff. It's just that I want to get out there to everyone that you find your own way. And you don't let anybody tell you how to do it. You find your own way where you're comfortable and you can be receptive to what the universe has to show and give and say. Mary? James?
Oh, I agree. And I think that the only way to get anywhere in meditation is to do it your own way and to relax. I think that it is in the relaxing that it, and putting that is a demonstration of my faith, and my belief is to meditate, and whether I am only thinking about chocolate chip cookies or going into the light or going into a time where I feel that my guides are talking to me, I cannot judge it because I am there to listen. And I am, again, as I said, demonstrating my faith and my belief by sitting there. And that's mm-hmm. what counts. It is showing up for the messages, whether you are sitting in a chair with your knees full, your legs folded, or working in your garden.
James?
That's so true. The other thing I find is with me, because the busy mind, you have to get rid of the busy mind or cut off your head and put it in your heart. I found that Qigong is, you know, Qigong is about 4,000 years old, and I think Qigong is a great breathing practice of getting present on the breath and getting present in your own chakras. That always helps me. And then once I've done a series of Qigong, whether it's animals or trees, heaven, earth in Qigong, calling in masters, then I can go blank, because we pick up so much interference from daily life in our minds.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I need to do something to really clear out and clean out. Qigong has always helped. Tai Chi has always helped. Yoga positions help as well. But breathing is everything.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But it is that calmness that brings the final moment back to us, I think, no matter how we get there. And intention.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Intention. Absolutely. In prayer, intention, asking.
Uh-huh.
Yes, absolutely.
We can't do our jobs without these guidelines.
No.
No, you're absolutely right. And I get clients that will say, why isn't so-and-so there to help me in terms of a spirit guide such as my mother or my uncle? And I will say, did you ask them? Did you pray to the white light of God? Did you ask them to come in? Did you, when they made themselves known to you, did you ask them for a specific type of help from your, and they go, no, I just thought they knew. And it's like, no, intention of energy truly attracts and manifests and helps.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah, and, you know, it's really, I've had, had somebody ask me the other day if I could do mediumship for them. They wanted to get a hold of Carl Jung. And I said, did you know him? And they said, no, I have a question or two for him. And I said, well, would you take a telephone call from someone you didn't know? And I don't think they understand that while master's guides and teachers, yes, they come through, but when you're looking for a specific person, there has to be a thread or a connection of some sort so that you know, they are following a network of connections to you. And you know, everybody would like to talk to Elvis, but, you know, he didn't know everybody.
But in your practice, don't you actually have people asking? I do. Where's Elvis?
Yes, I do. And I think one of the coolest things, you know, every now and then someone will pass over and they'll get, and as they come into, their loved ones are very excited because they want to tell them that Elvis is dead and he's over here. And I talked to him, and you know, it's like, you know, nothing like validating your love for the people that are here and distraught and everything. But the fact that you've talked to Elvis is more important, I think, is the coolest thing in the world. I think that so many people don't understand that when somebody crosses over, they open their eyes to a new dimension, a new realm. They're surrounded by people who love them, and there's a celebration that goes on that's profound. It's wonderful. And you know, we tend to forget that because, you know, they have left a hole in our lives, and we feel great sadness. And usually it's because we will miss them. And we forget that you know, they are now free from pain. They are now in a great place. They are now surrounded by love and embraced by love. And they have a wonderful journey ahead of them. And so it's really an amazing thing that the Chinese have it right. They mourn at the birth of a baby because of the life and the problems and the troubles and the lessons, and they celebrate at the funeral because they have achieved what they needed to and they have moved on to another dimension. So
that's incredibly true. But Barbara, I want to ask you, in spiritualist church, I mean, and you can negate this, but there is a great law of energy about learning on the other side. And it's the as you go, so you continue law, which mm-hmm. I find in my channeling, certain souls are in classrooms and they're learning and they're expanding. And then some spirits don't have that curiosity to expand or travel. Have you found that?
I think that the initial thing, yes, but eventually they kind of get with the program. I think that I have tapped into spirits for people for 15, 20 years, and lots of times they just hung around. They didn't do much. They, you know, they did their stuff and they checked it up on their family. But at some point, and actually this happened just recently, this woman who she comes and all she wants to know is her father and her husband. That's all she wants to talk about. That's all she wants to hear about. And this last time that she came to me, I said to her, you know, I have to tell you, your husband is here, but he's very busy because he has suddenly had a moment of enlightenment or whatever. He's seen the greater picture. He's now working on his spirit. He's now trying to assimilate all of the lessons of this lifetime and incorporate them into a soul as opposed to a personality. And he's looking at at letting go of the density of humanity and moving more towards the etheric quality of the spirit. And he's been gone for 35 years.
That's true. And in so many cases, 35 years is like 3 years or 5 years. And that's really true. And that's why in church we offer, well, any offering to any soul when they leave, a prayer of progression. Because
yeah.
they do get with the program eventually. And time is doesn't exist. So it all depends on the projects and the lessons. But, yes, getting with the program, absolutely.
And I think that, you know, there are certainly spirits, people who have been heavily into drugs or you know, into difficult things that when they do cross over, they do spend a great deal of time cocooned and healing and you know, detoxifying themselves to a great degree so that there is clarity. And yeah, I think the time is different for everybody. It's a very unique thing, and it's unique unto each spirit. And you know, some people when they cross over, they're ready to go, and they're open to the fact that you know they will lose density, they will become one with the light, and they will soar into yet another reality. And there are others that prefer to just sit in their underwear and watch TV. And that's their right.
Yes. True.
Yes, yes, they do. Yes. And until it's time for a bit of an evolution to happen, yes.
And sometimes, you know, even though according to the spiritualist church, anyhow, the time on the other side is generally accepted as about 100 years between incarnations, there are those that haven't reincarnated for thousands of years, and you see them every now and then, and you know what, they absolutely look as though, oh my God, do I belong on this planet? And if they weren't so disturbed, it would be fun, because they really haven't been down here on a very regular basis, so that what they're coming into is so unique and so strange and so alien to them. That sometimes they do wonder if they're on the right planet.
It's true. The density of the physical world, when you haven't been in this Earth surface physical density for periods and periods, it's shocking. It's tough to move around.
Well, how do you know those who do come back so much quicker than 100 years?
Well, sometimes they have something to complete. Sometimes they, you know, just didn't want to sit out for 100 years. They wanted to get back in the fray.
Okay.
I think it's a choice. I think it's
thank you.
Beautiful.
I would agree with that. I just was making clarity in my own mind.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, frankly, I'm having such a good time here. I really, you know, I can't imagine sitting up there for 100 years watching all sorts of stuff happening down here and not being able to get my hand in the pie, so to speak.
I bet you would, Barbara.
it may also have to do with the personality I chose for this lifetime, too. That may have a little bit to do with it because, you know, of course, the personality doesn't come back, though the spirit does. And,
yes.
And Have you guys met people that have told you that this is their last lifetime, they're not coming back here anymore?
Yeah.
Yes.
I laugh.
I always say, you know,
to myself.
I always say you're absolutely right. You as a person will not be back. And that's a blessing for the most part. But the spirit but the spirit most probably will choose to. And it just is amazing. I don't think that while we have a choice as to the, you know, we do have a choice as to the lessons and the qualities and the aspects that we want to work on. We have a choice about that, and I think we I often tell people that we go into the reincarnation center and we sit down with a counselor and we say, okay, I want to work on this, 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 and this. But we don't get a chance to say we don't get a chance to say that how that happens. so that, you know, every now and then we get surprised here, and it's like, I'm not sure I charted quite that. you know, and it was, you know, next time I must make a note to myself, self, please don't be quite so ambitious. I really, and at this point I've told the other side that I want to roll over any other karmic debt I have to my next lifetime because I'm done paying this lifetime.
That's good. I agree with that because there are some things that come at me and I'm like, oh God, please help, because these, like, five lessons will come at you at once from karmic debt, and thank God for guides and masters and angels that will sort things out, because it's and you have asked for it, you have created it, you've attracted it, you've hoped for it, but boy, it's hard.
It is.
Well, that's something I think that everybody has to realize, that no matter how difficult things are going in your life, no matter how miserable they may be, that you ask to have an experience to help you to grow and expand and more greatly polish an aspect that you carry within. We charted it. We totally charted it.
We asked it to happen. We attracted it. We sent out the lines and pulled it back in front of our face. We did.
We did.
And
it makes us a stronger individual and a better person.
Well, I think that especially when you see things happening like you know, the shootings and the bombings and everything else, that you just can't imagine how anybody would choose that. And yet, their soul, their spirit indicated that they needed a lesson that would help them to grow and evolve, you know, through something, and it's charted, and you charted it as a spirit. And, you know, as a spirit, I think we forget once we get up there and we lose our density and we become, you know, one with the light, and we decide, you know, oh, let me go back down there again and you know, further polish some of the facets of my spirit. And we forget how, you know, frankly, I think the Reincarnation Center has a really sick sense of humor sometimes. because I'm not sure, I don't think there's a building up there that has Reincarnation Center on it, but that's the best way that I can think of to describe it to people. But it's, you know, I think that's one of the other things that people just don't understand, that laughter is such a part of evolution, that on the other side there is joy and there is laughter. I don't think there are practical jokes, but I do feel that laughter and joy is part of growing, a part of healing, it's part of evolving, and if we don't have laughter in our heart and spirit, then there's something missing.
Yes. And because with humor, I mean, this is part of ancient Egypt for 3,000 years. Lightness of heart will get you through. Lightness of heart puts us closer to the entire grid above us with the greatness of wisdom, and gives us perspective and power down here.
Yeah,
that's absolutely true. And you know, I think that's one thing that I know when Mary and I do shows together, and we bring the laughter in, and we're not laughing at people, we're laughing with them. And, you know, especially when we do past lives, which we love, we try to bring the joy of creation into whatever we're doing. And so many people make spirituality such a somber, sober, experience that I think they've missed the whole point of the dance of creation.
That's so true. Absolutely.
And that there is magic in humor. There is magic in laughter.
And
oh,
there's
gotcha.
Wisdom and perspective and insight, because it clears the energy And when it is of the heart, and as Barbara says, you know, when guides are giving it to us, it just clears the energy so that there is more vision and more ability to see and feel with clarity the real truth.
Yes. That's why if I'm not having a good meditation, sometimes I get up and sing. And no one listens to me. Thank goodness for that. But it clears my head.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And you know, when oftentimes when I'm going to fairs or if I was working in the pulpit, I found that I would sing, you know, in the car. And trust me, that was the only place that my voice ever was heard because people would pay me not to sing. But
yeah,
it raised my vibration. It made me... it makes me more intensive. When I was in high school, I was in the church choir, and trust me, everyone knew I couldn't sing, but it gave me such joy to be in that energy. There is a vibrational effect that music has on people, and it lifts you, and it's just the most amazing thing in the world. And you know, I kind of regret that it's really funny. My sister and I have the same speaking voice. If my sister was here and talking, you would not be able to tell the difference between us. Yet my sister has perfect pitch and can sing, and I can't.
Oh.
So it's the strangest thing ever. It's the same voice. I used to accept dates, you know, on the phone for her. And
did you, Barbara?
I did. It was so cool. You know,
were you doing readings to find out if they were worth her time to go out on that date?
Oh, no, this was in high school. No. I just thought it was really cool. If they didn't know my sister well enough to not be able to tell her sister from her, then why not accept them all and see what my sister did with three boys coming to the door, something like that.
Funny.
Yeah, my mother made me stop. But... You know, I was having such a lovely time.
I bet you were.
I was, because, you know, I just sat back and
watched.
Back
as your sister, Barbara.
Huh?
I'm not coming back as your sister.
Oh, no, I wouldn't. That's dangerous. But you know, it's funny.
You're dangerous.
It's funny. It's kind of fun because I do believe we are coming back and you know we will continue to come back and understanding that reincarnation has been going on for the millennia and beyond. Where do you figure it's going? I mean, okay, I don't believe that we're going to constantly be coming back to the Earth plane. Where do we go after this plane? Any ideas?
I mean, where do we reincarnate? Where do we reincarnate? Is that the question?
No. Yeah, I mean, eventually we will have done the Earth. Where do we go from there?
A new Earth.
Yeah, it gets so vast. In our bodies, it's so hard to see it or think about it or conceive it. But yes, there are other planets. I mean, I love the theory of the parallel universe.
Mm-hmm.
So do I.
You know, living someone else, because I've had readers tell me, you know, that I am a female judge on another planet. And I'm going, I can kind of feel that. But, you know, it's 21 billion light years away. But, you know, and I think when we're done on Earth, when we have tried to help and do what the light workers want us to do, I mean, yes, there is another Earth, as Mary says. There's another project.
I don't think we'll ever run out.
We won't run out. It's so large. We can't conceive of it.
And we are forever creating. The universe is creating.
Yes, yes.
Well, it's ever evolving, absolutely. And I just, you know, it's sort of like, okay, at some point in time, somewhere down the road, when I cross over, when you cross over, whatever, they're going to say, okay, you've used up, you know, there's nothing more that the Earth plane can offer you. So now you're going to wherever. And it's not an endless journey. I think that, and we're not caught in a loop here. I think that that's something that I think a lot of people get confused about. It's this is not the end, nor is it the beginning. It's a stepping stone. It's a stopping point, and it's a place where our spirit is going to work very hard, thousands, millions, maybe trillions of times. But at some point in time, the spirit that we carry is going to be ready to ascend to another level, another vibration, another dimension. I don't know what you want to call it. But the earth plane is not where we are going to be for eternity.
No, it's not. No, because right. I've had, in when I've gone to channelers and masters, it's, well, this master has gone, I've gotten the message, has gone into the center of light.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that happens to be, but if your job is really done and you're not in another parallel universe, there is a center of light where a soul goes. I don't know that much about it. I've heard it, I've seen it, but it's so vastly far. But you're right, there is a culmination point, I think, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. No, it's just, to me, it's we're on a journey, and the journey isn't just on the earth plane, and we have been other places before and will be other places in the future, but this is the earth plane seems to be one of those platforms that we work from for a great period of time and then move into another dimension, I guess. You know, if you guys go before I do, or if you get there before I do, come back and tell me.
We sure will. We sure will. I think I'm going to be in some classrooms, though. I mean, you know, it's going to be a progression, definitely, for me.
And I'm going to skateboard or snowboard the Himalayas.
Oh.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Do that. Yes.
Would never do that in this life. But if I'm already on the other side, I'm going to create my own Himalayas, and I'm going to go boarding.
Well,
like I agree. Like what I want to do is sing grand opera and play all the parts.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Wow.
We can create part of it while we're waiting for whatever is going on. I really do.
Yes.
But, you know, it's just sort of like, it isn't just lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. There has to be something that is beyond that. And I understand it's not in our comprehension, but nor in our experience, because our experience in our past lives only refer to this dimension, I believe. I've never, now Mary, you're going to have to, you know, I have never found a past life of somebody that was from another world. Have you?
No, I haven't either. But really, Barbara?
Why not?
Well, I really kind of thought that you had felt that you had seen other worlds in the past lives.
Every now and then, yes, but, you know, I usually avoid them because I figure that's way too weird and people don't want to hear that. So, you know,
Barbara, don't edit.
Yes, please don't edit there, because you have been known to see things that I will never see. You're amazing when you do this.
Well,
and it's true. It's also what I've seen, the life between lives for some people is on another planet. It's in another universe, or it's with guides, or the life between lives is they come back, but they don't incarnate, that they are a spirit. So it is part of, as you are saying, Barbara, it's part of this larger grid of consciousness that goes into levels of light and interplanetary thought and being.
Yeah, I just, you know, it just seems to me that there is so much out there and so much available to us. And you know, basically, we seem to be sticking to the structure that has gone before us, and I just kind of figure maybe it's time that somebody start stretching into the new dimensions, because they're out there. They're definitely there. It's a matter of you know, sharing it, writing it down, and stuff like that. I think that people we're stuck. We're stuck in the old spiritualist church stuff. We're stuck in what the famous psychics have said to this point in time. But the reality is, they now have passed over. And you know, it's sort of like, if we're taking up a torch, we should at least go into the darkness with it. We shouldn't just repeat what's already been done.
Absolutely. And we are getting more. I know you are, Barbara. I am. I know Mary is. I just, that information that is of the higher levels and of the universes, I'm not always able to translate it, what I am seeing. I know I'm seeing something else. I don't know what I'm seeing.
I have to agree on that. Don't you sometimes feel that way too, Barbara?
No. I actually, you know, when I see weird stuff, I know it's weird stuff. I just don't know where it belongs.
Well, that's the same with me. It's just, I don't, it's like, oh gosh, and then if I let it alone and become more clairsentient about it, I'll get a little more clues and understanding of it.
Sometimes I don't get any clue whatsoever or understanding of it, but that's okay, because I just figure I was just supposed to notice it.
You're absolutely right. The same happens to me, Mary. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because again, if we go chasing after it, I won't find it.
But, you know, a lot of this is, it's like the UFOs. UFOs have become more and more out there. People are seeing them more and more often. They're not scared by them. They're really curious about them. And starting in the, you know, way back. I mean, if you go way back, UFOs were the sky people, were the cloud dancers, were the just those people that came and help and lived amongst the Native Americans. If you go way back, and then they weren't around, or they weren't perceived as being around for a long time. And then in the 40s, they started to become more and more there, and I kind of get the feeling that what's happening is we're having these weird experiences and everything to make us comfortable with them, so that when something actually does evolve, that we'll go, oh, that's what that meant, instead of, oh my God. So that you know, a lot of times that what we're experiencing is just the precursor to a revelation that is not of this world.
Yes, absolutely. Because the what you were previously saying, such as the Hopis, the roof dwellers in ancient Colorado, certainly ancient Arizona, Sedona. I mean, yes, there was that conjoining of interplanetary life and life on Earth that was very positive and very enlightening. And I agree with everything you said.
No, I just, you know, the more that I think about it, the more that I realize it's, you know, all of the science fiction that we've seen, not the scary stuff, but I mean, take Star Trek. They walked up to a door and it opened and then it closed after they, and that was amazing, and that was that was just so phenomenal. And we have it here today, and now it's a part of our everyday lives. It happens all the time. They're little beam-me-ups, they're little recorders that they, you know, our cell phones are more powerful than their things. Of course, they can't beam us up. But aside from that, you know, the technology has come into present day, and so therefore we need to have more weird stuff that can come into present day in another decade or two. And there doesn't seem to be that stuff.
But I think it's coming. I think it's coming. I think it's a blending arrival of different planes of consciousness.
I think so much too. It just comes when it's supposed to come.
Absolutely, but you know it's you know we've sort of drifted from our mediumship thing here I expected to drift from it. it feels as though mediumship and we all practice it, we all believe in it, and it's all a part of our lives. I think mediumship has got to come out of the shadows and I think for the most part it's very accepted by the general public. The people that seem to have the problem with it are the scientists, and I don't understand why. I guess because they can't quantify it or validate it.
Well, that makes perfect sense because, you know, sometimes it's to put it as easily as I can, to me it is a control or an authority. But even Einstein turned his attention to the inner world of the mind and the inner world of spirit. So it just has to come on a small movement, and who knows what's ahead of us.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Well, you know, when you look at mediumship, and you know, it started in the 1800s to really take on, and unfortunately a lot of them were charlatans, but I mean, people... very famous people were very involved in it, and even in this country, Abraham Lincoln, he and his wife, you know, had seances to try to contact their son that had passed away.
Little Todd.
So, yeah, and it's a shame.
Arthur
because
Conan Doyle was known to hang out with mediums also.
And William Butler Yeats, the head of the Irish Academy, the founder of the Abbey Theatre, possibly the greatest poet of the 20th century, William Butler Yeats, he was huge into mediumship.
Yeah, so you know, lots of famous people, and it's another one of those things that it's been around for a long time. People have not let go of it. It's not been stomped out. It can't be stomped out. And yet the fact that scientists the reports I read were just mind-boggling about, you know, it's a fake, it's a fraudulent, they're picking up hints that you're giving them, and yes, there are people that do that. But for the most part, and that I think I want that to be the major thing that people get out of this, that there are very, very good, honest, valid, credible mediums out there that genuinely do have the capacity to touch in with your loved ones. But to go to somebody randomly and not research them or get referrals is just negligent on your part. If you want to find a good medium, then you let word of mouth be something that guides you, and check sources, check people out. I Mary and James and I, we're all of us very, very open to somebody, you know, checking us out and getting, you know, talking to friends that have had readings with us or whatever. It's as important to find a good medium as it is to find a good doctor or dentist or shrink. Maybe not the shrink part, but doctor or dentist. And it's, you know, mediums are, there's the full spectrum of mediums, just like there's the full spectrum of every other occupation out there. There are some that are very, very good, and some that are just learning, and some that you know, haven't the faintest idea what's going on, but they'll give it a shot. And pick wisely, please. Don't go to someone, you know, check out the spiritualist churches. That's where a lot of mediums get their fundamental training. That's where James and I both got our training. And you know, go to authentic places. Go to places where mediumship is something that is utilized. You know, they don't necessarily teach it because I don't believe you can teach it, but you can refine it. And so if you are looking for someone to contact a spirit or bring you messages from the other side. They're out there, and there's some very, very good people all over the country. So, and you don't have to spend a fortune either. That's the
No, you don't. And there's
yeah.
Lilydale. Lilydale is outside of Buffalo and near Chautauqua. There's Chesterfield in Indiana. Yes, they're based in spiritualism, but there are some really high-level mediums practicing there, just like you, Barbara, and you, Mary. But there are places in the country. The other thing is trust your heart. Trust the feelings inside you when you're with the medium, because your soul and your guides through your soul are letting you know, is this true? Is this the real thing? You will feel the vibration inside yourself of a true medium, of a great medium, or one that has important messages for you.
You do. You really, really do. I'm glad to hear you say that.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, we're all here to serve, really. And I think any good medium is here to serve as well and not take advantage and trust me, a good medium does not need to be given any hints. The spirits are there, and they give the message, and they give you exactly what they get. Now, I think the one danger that I can remember going to one of the ministers at the church for a reading once, and I sat for an entire hour, and he brought through probably 15 or 20 spirits, and I didn't know a one of them.
Wow.
So you know, you can't.
Wait a minute, that brings up an interesting point, because you do this work. Do you sometimes feel that you get energy or a spirit that is not 15 by any means, but one or two that are waiting for the next person to come in?
Oh, sometimes. And I can remember doing a spirit circle and talking to a woman about her grandmother, and she kept saying no to me. And I kept saying, oh, this lady is saying she's your grandmother. I don't know what to say to you. And she said, well, both of my grandmothers are alive. And I said, but this is a grandmother, and it's not a great-grandmother. It's a grandmother. And she let me go around and around in circles for a good 10 minutes before she said, well, I am adopted. Could this be my biological grandmother?
Oh, uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, there are... Sometimes I get spirits that just came to say hi. You know, they
yeah.
see the light, the door's open, and they just say hi. And you know, so that sometimes you just, you know, you're sitting there and you're wanting to hear from Great Aunt Mehitable, and Aunt Nancy comes instead. You know, the medium can't control that. These are the spirits that are there, and we would love to be able to, you know, pull in exactly who you want. But the reality is we open a portal, and spirits step through it. And we can't go dialing up the phone. And I guess we could, because in the case of the one in the Old Testament, they were going... you know, specifically for a certain spirit, but in my experience, I can't do that. I don't do that. I've not ever tried it, to be honest with you. It just seems to me that if spirits are waiting to come through and to give a message or say I love you or thank you for all you did, that's what I'm there for. But to try to dial up somebody and pull them away from whatever it is they're doing that is far more important seems inappropriate and unethical to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, well, if you don't know them, but honestly, I have found that if someone has crossed themselves over or someone is done something that has helped, sometimes they don't come in very often. And so what my practice is they have to wait until the very last. But if there is someone that I have not been able to get and they have not come through, then we call them out. The information...
I've done that before. I've asked angels in white light to call in particular names. And
yes, that's what I do too, because I feel that we're
yes.
not bothering them. We're inviting them and we're reassuring them that their loved one wants to come in.
That's beautifully said. That's so true. And I use the white light of Christ. I use Gabriel. I use the white lights of communication to ask them and invite them if they would come and give a message or yes, I agree.
And they do. They love to come. Barbara, think about it, because they, especially if a young person has crossed themselves over, they're embarrassed to talk to their parents. So what I do is we, as together, ask them to come in because we love them and we invite them, and they show up. So it works for me.
And it works for me, too, with the protection of the white light, because it is all, it's all for the highest and greatest good. So
Yes.
Some of them are not as evolved, and they'll say, I'm working on this because this is how I left, so I can give you this much. I'm working. And the message is to send prayers and healing, and they will be back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes good sense. I have to admit that most times the person that they're looking for is there, so that I've not had to
agree, Barbara.
We are unhappily out of time.
I want to
thank both of you so much for coming on the show and talking about this, because it's a very important aspect of all of our realities. And I think that hopefully we gave people some, you know, idea as to what it is we deal with. And I think that was important as well. But I thank you so much, Mary, and thank you so much, James, for taking the time out of your evening. And Mary, I'm so, you know, I'm so honored that you stayed up late to be with us today.
I was waiting for that, Barbara. Yeah. And
I mean, to be fair, my show used to be from 11 o'clock at night to 1 o'clock in the morning, and Mary actually did make several of the shows. So
somebody had to pull my eyes open.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I was very honored to be with both of you. I'm very honored to be with both of you. I thank you so much. It was wonderful.
And the same here, James. Very honored to take part in this and to meet you and to enjoy the chatting. And Barbara, as always, I send you my love. Thank you.
To you guys, too. Thank you so much. And I thank you for the chat room. You've been fabulous. And I thank those of you who called in with questions and those that asked them in the chat room. It added to the show, and the chat room certainly had a good time tonight anyhow. So so I will talk to you. I will see you guys. Hopefully I'll see some of you on Friday from 4 to 6 on Nightlight. And James, I'll see you Sunday. And Mary, I'll talk to you soon, too.
Okay,
absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.